today. My first story is about a guy named Dennis. Now, I saw a video of this guy named Dennis. I can't pronounce his last name, so we're just going to call him Dennis. It's like one of these 15-letter words. But Dennis, I saw this awesome video. It was packed in something else I was watching, and it really started to make me understand all these things. Now, Dennis, he was the senior vice president of the world's largest developer. This was a $53 billion firm out of California. Dennis was diagnosed with ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, back in 2009. He only has a life expectancy of 2 to 5 years. His form of the disease, it's a special form of ALS, that attacks his speech and his swallowing first. So this guy, senior vice president of this mega, the largest corporation, development firm in the world, gets ALS, and it starts. The disease starts to attack his speech and swallowing. And after a year after he's diagnosed with this, he's forced to retire from his job because he can't communicate any longer. And he's forced to retire early. He just doesn't understand these things. Dennis attended a large church in Simi Valley, California, called Cornerstone. And Dennis was a very wealthy man, and he had funded entire ministries out of his own pocket. This guy had given hundreds of thousands of dollars to his church. But he was also, not only was he rich and he could give so much money, he was also a very humble man. Dennis, senior vice president of the world's largest development firm, would stand in the lobby every Sunday morning at his church and hand out donuts and coffee to folks as they came in to worship on Sunday mornings. So this was just an outstanding guy, just an awesome guy, loved life, just gave all he could give, not only financially, but of his time, a humble man who just loved to serve the Lord, gets diagnosed with this horrible disease, ALS, forces him to retire, and he's just confused. It just doesn't make sense. You know, we hear stories like that of folks who are like that, and get these horrible diagnoses, they just don't make any sense to us. We ask, why this guy? Why couldn't it have been somebody else? Or why did this even have to happen? But we want to know why it happens to certain people. Why do bad things happen to good people? Now, Dennis's reaction to his adversity may shock you. Because I don't have the video to show you, I'm just going to read his quote. This is what he says about what he's got in his disease and his life. It may sound weird to some, but Jesus has put a peace in my heart being faced with this fatal diagnosis. As Christians, we all face adversity. It would be easy to give up. However, Jesus has given me opportunities to witness to others because of my illness. Don't think I don't have thoughts of why me, why now, or let this cup pass, God. But regardless of these thoughts, I am reminded that things happen in Jesus' perfect timing. We embrace death as Christians, not accept it. Death is a gift because we get to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. As Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he closes his statement with this: it brings joy to God when we remain absolutely confident in him no matter what we are facing. And that testimony just spoke to me. You know, this guy's got a fatal diagnosis. He's going to die within the next year or two. But he's embraced that. Like, God has used him to witness to others through his disease. He understands that if this disease hadn't happened to him, he wouldn't be able to witness like he's had to others. This guy just gets it. I love that last statement. It brings joy to God when we remain absolutely confident in him no matter what we are facing. He just gets it. But we still ask, why do these terrible things happen to such good people? They just don't make any sense. So that's my first story about Dennis. My second story is about my own mom. Some of you know this, but most of you probably don't. About 6 or 7 months ago, my mom was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer. She had surgery. She had one breast removed. She had a lump removed from the other. And even this Tuesday, she'll be going for her third chemo treatment of probably 6. Now, here's what you need to know about my mom. My mom is just the sweetest lady you'll ever meet. She grew up in the church. And because of her faith and her upbringing, she has had a huge impact on my spiritual life. I confident I am where I am today because of her love and her care for me and my life. I thought about the number one thing that stands out most to me about my mom, and it's just, she's so giving. She's such a giving lady. She retired a couple years ago from her good government job to watch my younger brother has twin girls. She retired early so she could watch those twins. That's just how she was. She didn't think twice about it. It's just what she did. Even to this day, my mom, every time she goes grocery shopping, she still buys me things. I'm 32 years old. She still buys me things that she thinks that I could use. She'll bring me 15 pack of paper towels. She'll drive 2 hours to bring me these things. It would be easier for her to send me money to go buy it at BJ's myself, but like that's just how she is. She's just a sweet, giving, caring lady. And for example, my son Parker, he's about 2 and a half. He loves snack pack puddings. A lot of you probably like snack pack puddings. I know I do. Chocolate and tapioca are his favorite flavors. And my mom, every time she goes to the grocery store, buys me snack pack puddings. I just moved and I just counted. There's 40 or 50 snack pack pudding packs in my cupboard because she's just, that's what she does. She's just a giving person. She just always gives and gives and gives. My point is about my mom and her diagnosis of cancer and the trials she's going through and the fact that she's just an awesome lady. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter how nice or sweet or how awesome you are or how giving you are. Like, sometimes these trials just happen. You know, when I first heard about her cancer, you know, I asked God, I'm like, God, why did this happen to my mom? Why is my mom going through this? And why now? You know, why now? She's only 59 years old, and it just doesn't make sense sometimes. But the reality is, in my mom's life, she isn't mad at God. She isn't bitter about her diagnosis. She isn't bitter about all the chemo treatments and all the crap that causes. She just understands that, you know, sometimes life throws you curveballs. You know, she knows that God is in control. Her faith allows her to know that God is in control, even in this circumstance. And she's just hoping and praying that through this, you know, she's going to bless somebody else and be able to help them through their situation. But ultimately, she's confident in the fact that God is in control. And that's how she gets through it. Dennis, the story I shared about Dennis, he understood that, you know, because of the situation God has placed him in, like, he's had opportunities to witness to others. He gets it. He understands it. That's how these folks get through these things. My third story is about me. I want to share with you a little bit about my life. About a year and a half ago, I started going through just the hardest, most painful trials my life has ever encountered. My personal life was just in ruins, and all I could do was ask God over and over and over again, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Like, I spent months questioning this, asking over and over and over again, and I bet some of you have probably been in those situations where you just don't understand it. Your life isn't making sense. You're asking God, why? But I was in this circumstance myself, and I started thinking selfishly. I started thinking, God, it doesn't make any sense that you're doing this to me. Like, I've served you faithfully for 13 years. I've answered your call to serve you full time. You know, I used to have my own business where I made a lot of money and I had a lot of worldly possession. I gave all that up. I gave up a lot of potential income to serve you. Like, I'm following you with all my heart, but you're allowing me to go through this, and I just don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. And I spent months questioning and honestly being angry, really angry with God. But here's what I knew. Through all that pain and junk that was going on in my personal life, like, I knew without a doubt that God was in control. And no matter what the outcome of what was going on in my life, that God was in control and he was going to bring me even through this deepest valley I've ever been in. I knew that. I knew that without a heart. That's what faith does for you. You realize no matter what you're going through, God's going to bring you through it. God is in control, and you're going to be a better person through it. While I was just struggling, trying to figure things out, I remembered Scripture. I remembered stories I read in the Bible. For example, I remember Moses. And remember how he dealt with being lonely and how he felt completely overwhelmed at times and how his own family rebelled against him. I remembered that. And I remember Paul, who was beaten, stoned, betrayed, and eventually murdered. I remembered that. I read that again. And I remember Jesus. And we all know what happened to Jesus. How jealous, self-righteous people had beaten him and eventually murdered him. And how everyone in Jesus' inner circle abandoned him. His closest friends abandoned him in Jesus' greatest time of need. And I remembered those things. And I looked at those guys' life as I reread those things, as I was going through my own trials trying to figure them out. I remembered that all these guys stayed faithful to the Father. All these guys stayed faithful to the Father. They knew what God was doing in their life, the big picture. They knew where they were going, and they continued to stay faithful on that path that God had called them to. And I realized, you know, these guys end up doing awesome things in Scripture and in history. And if these guys were going to stay faithful to the Father and knew that God was in control and God was going to bring them through all this adversity and trials, that I needed to do the same thing as well. Also, you know, I spent some time from counsel from others, Christian counseling, other pastors, other good friends in ministry. And I learned through talking with all these folks that sometimes enduring great pain will lead to tremendous progress. I'm going to repeat that. Sometimes we need to endure great pain in our life so that we will be led down the path to some tremendous progress. And that's true for me. Through these trials of my life, through my mom's trials, through Dennis's trials, God's doing something through that. God's working in lives. People are stronger. They're more mature because of that. And here's the bottom line. From all these stories, it doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter, you know, how much you give to church or how sweet of a person or how nice of a person or how giving you are or even what you do for a living. It doesn't matter what you do. You're going to face trials. Like it promises, like Jesus promises in John 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. But there's more to that scripture. There's the end of that scripture that I didn't share with you. I only shared with you half of it. Jesus says in John 16, 33, in this world you will have trouble. That's a promise. You will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says you're going to have trouble in this world. You're not going to understand it. But take heart, because I have overcome the world, and you can take heart in that, and you can take heart in me. So here's what we need to do. Just like that first song I played from Need to Breathe in the beginning, we need, and my favorite line from that song, let me read it to you. My favorite line from that Lay 'Em Down song by Need to Breathe says, if you're lost and lonely, burdened, or broken down, bring all your troubles and lay them down. That's what we need to do, folks. Life throws us curveballs. Life and gives us difficult times. Life gives us little problems and big problems constantly. But what we need to do is give every one of those things to God. We need to hand over everything we've got, everything we're going through. We need to give that junk, I call, we need to give that over to God, and he's going to carry us through. Psalm 55:22 again. I love this verse. Pile all your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry the load. He'll help you out. He'll never topple good people into ruin. That scripture reminds me of something. About a year ago, last summer, we had an intern here named Jara. And she was a very inspirational person in my life. She's just a great young lady. Still one of my best friends to this day. She, at the end of the summer, she gave me this card that said, I may be a little person. She was a tiny little thing, probably weighed 90 pounds. I'm a huge guy, 260 pounds. She, in that card, said she knew what I was going through. She was, you know, helping me out. She was, you had been praying for me. She goes, I may be little, but I have strong shoulders. And if you ever need help, if you need ever need anyone to help you through anything or ever need anyone to talk, I can handle that stuff. And that meant so much to me. Just like God is saying, you know, God is big enough to handle all of our problems. All of our problems collectively. God's strong enough. He's big enough. He can handle all that. We need to give all those things to God. We need to lay them down, like it says in the song, at the feet of Jesus. Like it says in James 1, blessed are those who persevere under trial, because when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised them. We are promised that if we persevere through all the trials and tribulations and the troubles of life, we will receive what God has prepared for us at the end. That's a promise. Life isn't easy. Life is tough, actually. Don't for a second think that your life, because you're a Christian, is going to be easy. It's difficult. Life is hard. But if we persevere through all those trials, all those troubles, all those difficult things that make us question why, if we persevere through that thing, what God's promised at the end is eternal life, it's heaven, glory. It's an awesome thing. I want to close with this. I have the scripture for the screen. This last question, why doesn't life make sense? Why doesn't life make sense? So I found this scripture. It was one of those ones that I had heard over and over again throughout my 14, 15 years of being a believer. But I didn't know exactly where it was. I had to search it this week to understand. But so here's the reason why life doesn't make sense. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says this, and this is from the Message version of the Bible again, so it's a little different than what you might be used to. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work, says God. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Life sometimes doesn't make sense because God is in control, right? We know that. We know God's in control, but God doesn't think the way we think. He doesn't work the way we work. Sometimes we can't comprehend what he's doing or why he's doing it. But what we need to do is trust and have faith that God is in control and he knows what he's doing, folks. God knows what he's doing. We need to let go and stop trying to control our own life and realize that God is in control and he's going to take care of us. And if we persevere through all these trials that life seems to throw at us, big and small, that at the end, God is going to take care of us. God is going to provide for us. We get to spend eternity in heaven with him. And all this pain and all this trouble and all this difficult things we endured on earth that ultimately made us stronger are going to be gone. And it's going to be an awesome time. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for putting these trials in our life. Lord, they're so difficult. They don't make sense sometimes, Lord. But, Lord, we know that you are in control of all things. And that if we put our trust and our faith in you, and if we persevere through all these trials that seem to happen at us, to our friends, to our loved ones, if we persevere through those things, we help one another out. At the end of this life, Lord, we are promised something beautiful, and that's eternity in heaven with you, where there will be no more pain, no more trials, or anything like that. Amen.